Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Sophie Ellis-Bextor, and welcome to Spinning Plates, the podcast where I speak to busy working women who also happen to be mothers about how they make it work. I'm a singer and I've released 7 albums in between having my 5 sons, aged 16 months to 16 years, so I spin a few plates myself. Being a mother can be the most amazing thing, but can also be hard to find time for yourself and your own ambitions. I want to be a bit nosy and see how other people balance everything. Welcome to Spinning Plates.
Hello, how are you? I am talking to you from my bathroom. It is Saturday morning, and sorry, it's Sandy opening some shampoo. And it has been a busy old time in the Ellis-Bextor Jones house since we last spoke. A couple of things. Well, actually, I've had a really good week. It's been very busy, but it's been really good. I've been songwriting, and I think I've written some really good stuff this week, guys. I know. It sounds a little heady, but basically, when you write songs, sometimes you get this fizzy feeling of like, oh, that was a good one. And I've had it with 3 songs this week. So I'm like, that's great. And it's a bit like having a cocktail or something. It gives you a bit of a head rush. And it's like something where you think, right, I want to do more of that. And I've been working with some lovely people. I did some writing with an amazing Norwegian singer who I love called Sigrid. And I've just been having a really nice week. I've been enjoying myself. And let's see what comes out of it. Let's see. But it's good because like when you're writing, you just need a bit of good momentum. You need to keep feeling positive and upbeat. So even if nothing comes from what I did, you need that motion to kind of keep you moving forward. So it's good for morale, basically. And we've also had 2 birthdays since last week. So on Tuesday, my firstborn turned 20. And then on Thursday, my third turn 12. So, wow, that's all the T's. 20 on Tuesday, 3rd, 12, Thursday. There's been lots of fun with that, a lot of cake in the house. And just, we love a birthday around here, and April's always mental. And it's good to have nice family time and be home and not travelling. So I could be home for all of that. And it all went well, and tonight we're having a sleepover. Sorry, I'm brushing my hair. So I've got like 8 kids coming over for a 12th birthday. Wish me luck. And I've actually used a company this week. They are called Sleepy Teepee. This is not a plug, it's just a fact. And they've done a brilliant job. I was going to do it myself. I looked up how to do those like sleepover tent things, and I just know it would have looked really bad. So I bit the bullet, and it's a bit of a treat, but it does look magnificent. And I'm like, yeah, this time that was the right decision. It's much better than anything I could have done. They've done a really beautiful job, and it looks really exciting. So this week, well, oh, I've been wanting to speak to Vicky for a while, actually, and I was really chuffed she said yes, because I thought there was a small chance she might have said, sorry, it's me washing my hands now, you're really getting the bathroom experience with me. I thought that she might say no, because Vicky's one of those people where she's incredibly talented and just seems to have no ego about her talents, and she really is so talented. So I met Vicky when I did Strictly Come Dancing back in 2013, because I'm kind of veteran stage of that, I guess. And I was really drawn to her because she's a very warm, nurturing, grounded, lovely person. And every week on the show is always so nerve-wracking that I just found myself seeking out those kinds of people where it wasn't all about the program and it wasn't all about what dance I'd done. It was just to kind of like, how are you, checking in proper, you know, making me feel less nervous sort of thing. So that's how I met Vicky, and I was so impressed with her because, you know, every week making outfits for what starts off as 15, you know, nervous people about to do their first dance of the show, and obviously as it progresses, you know, there's extra dancers, there's obviously all the main cast of dancers, there's lots going on all the time. And Vicky and her team just work so hard to create such beauty, and it's so often right up to the wire. We would have a dress rehearsal on the Friday and then the live show on Saturday. And sometimes I'd be wearing something completely different from one day to the next just because, you know, maybe it didn't work as well on camera, or something needed to be shorter, or actually it was the wrong shape, or whatever it might be. So there's lots of things that they're having to manage and problem solve very, very quickly, but in a way that's not flappy, that's not stressful, that's just like, yep, you can do that. And they were just amazing. So yes, I wanted to hear more from Vicky about her background, how she got into what she does, where she finds her way of managing that headspace, along with the fact that she's also mother to three children. So it was an absolute pleasure to have her over and to see her again and to hang out and to get answers to all of my questions. So I leave you with Vicky and I while I sort my hair out, and I will see you on the other side. All right, speak to you today. Vicky, it's so nice to see you. And like you just said before we started recording, I basically asked you to come on the podcast as an excuse to say hello. I haven't seen you properly in a while.
I know, it's so exciting. That's why I came, just to kind of catch up. And I was like, yeah, sure, this will be great fun.
Well, I've probably said it on my podcast before, but I feel like it's a good hack having a podcast because it gives you an excuse to see people. So I would recommend anyone, if you want a completely uninterrupted conversation with nice people, start a podcast and invite them on.
It's the way to do it.
So what are you up to at the moment? What are you doing with work? Because I think of you so much as living in Strictlyville that it's nice to know you exist outside the months of August to December doing other things. So what are you up to at the moment?
At the moment, we're doing a private gig, and it's sometimes people have parties or they have various things, and we're doing a nice little job with that. We've been doing Dancing on Ice, which is another kind of telly-related job.
Yeah, big thing.
Yeah. Girls Aloud are going on tour. So
you're back working with them as well?
Yeah, so that's been nice because I think from my middle child, Izzy, being born, I think she came to the Brits with me all that time ago when they were on, and so now them going on tour again, she's older, and it's a point in time for me, you know. Yeah. And I can think about the fun times. I'm not so sure you would take a baby backstage now.
So but how old was she back then?
Oh, probably about between 4 to 6 weeks old.
Oh, teeny tiny.
She was teeny tiny.
Between 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, it was...
How are you feeling back then doing the Brits with a...
Well, I think that
newborn.
With your second child, you kind of go into it, don't you? You think that you can do everything. I probably couldn't, and I probably didn't do anything, you know, really well. But you just crack on with life, don't you?
I think as well, sometimes with the second one, I felt like I was well, you know, this is your second, you're supposed to know what you're doing. So yeah. I didn't give myself as much slack, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's like, get over yourself, a second baby, come on.
Yeah, so there was a lot of that, but it's a nice story for her. She did have ear defenders on. And I do remember my nappy cream coming in handy, getting boob tape and various things off. So there's just lots of funny kind of memories of that time. So so yeah, you know, maybe we'll be watching the concert together, and it's just quite a nice synergy.
That's lovely. So she's 15, is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
So I guess you've got quite a good marker for how long ago that was. And also, so was working with Girls Aloud your first proper experience of working with sort of performance
and the industry? Yes, strangely, lovely lady Victoria Adcock, who is a stylist, I was introduced to her through my husband's work colleague. And so these chance meetings that occur in our lives, and then, yeah, you just, you know, that's pretty much how my life's gone. Work very hard. I love what I do. But it's just really moved. And then I think I've had my children in between. So I've never become too obsessive with my career, because I've always had my family, which is priority, and the time has just flown by. But along the way, if I look back, you know, I feel very fortunate. Did a little stint where we were doing quite a bit of stuff for Kylie, Girls Aloud. We did a thing when Britney was on tour. You know, I'm not really at the forefront, but I've kind of bobbed along nicely and done some really fun things. But my memory of it is always having my family around me and thinking, I've got to be back to do the nursery. I've got to be, you know. So it's, I don't know if I enjoyed it maybe quite as much as I should have done, but then I wouldn't be without my family life. So yeah, it's quite a strange journey.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I relate to a lot of what you've said. And I think you can't always, especially with creative work, you can't really make big, bold plans that easily, and a lot of it is about these chance meetings and being, you know, inspired by something or getting motivated to do something, or just finding yourself with looking at the options that are in front of you and going, yeah, okay, which of these works best for now. And I don't know if necessarily needing to be back for nursery pickups and things like that does negate your ability to enjoy it. It's just that you're busy doing lots of things.
Yeah,
like your head's in two different places sometimes.
Yeah, there's little satellites of thought. And I just feel incredibly lucky, really, that I've managed to do what I set out to do in a way.
Yeah.
But not have been too intense about it.
Well, I think that's a massive thing, actually, to not be too intense about it and not be obsessive about it. And I think that's probably something that I really picked up on about the way you are when you're working, even when I met you in the madhouse that is Strictly Come Dancing. Because that world is so, there's so much going on and there's a lot of swirl and noise, and the show is incredible, but there's also, yeah, sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you're kind of looking for these little oases where you can talk about things outside of it a little bit and just find a little rock in the water, because even though it's wonderful to be swept up in it, it's like giddy.
Yeah.
So like, you don't always want to be feeling giddy, especially when you're nervous as well.
It's true. And it's a real commitment, as you know.
Mm.
So, you know, you're entering in the sunshine and, you know, because you want to enjoy the ride and everything else. But it's a real commitment for you guys if you're a part of the show, like you say, probably a little bit bittersweet for us all, because it's such a great thing and there's a fabulous energy, but it's exhausting, and for me, I am a little bit of a workaholic, you know. I am a bit intense in terms of not about who I work with, what I'm doing, whatever I've committed to do.
Yeah,
I'm quite intense about delivering on what I've said I'd do.
Yeah.
I don't do that for myself, you know, like nails never get done. But if I've said to you, I'll do that for you, then I need to fulfill that, you know? So it can be quite an intense period of time.
So you set yourselves quite a high standard to keep to as well, don't you, with wanting to be consistent and keep everybody feeling good.
And keeping all the lovely people that work with me, because they have families, they have lives. And, you know, we can't just ignore everyone's lives for 6 months.
No, in fact, it's pretty important that you keep a bit of yourself outside of it, isn't it?
Yeah. So and so if they've got children, or maybe they've just got something on, maybe they're going to go to a concert or something, and it's like, yeah, sure. You know, because it's important that they come back feeling a little bit refreshed. I don't know, they probably think, oh, back in with Vicky.
So when you say like we are working on these projects at the moment, is it the same team you're with all year round?
I try to. I don't think that they can cope with me all year. And what's nice is that we're all getting older. So a few of the girls who joined me maybe when they were in their early 20s and now, you know, got children of their own, they're young women, and they've maybe gone off and done a couple of jobs which are their jobs, and then we all come back together on various gigs. Dancing on Ice is coming to an end, and we're doing a nice little job over the next couple of weeks. So the girls sometimes pass the baton because it works for them with their families. When they've gone off on maternity leave, you know, they'll cover for each other, so we'll mix roles.
Yeah.
So that it enables things like that to happen. So, I'm probably quite a tough boss in the sense that, like I say, I can be a little bit intense, but I hope that we've created an environment that we're very female heavy, and that's not because I don't like to have any men on the team. It's just the way it's gone. And we don't want to get shot of anyone.
Yeah.
So, and again, until that kind of naturally moves, you know, we do tend to stay together. But it's nice.
It does sound nice. And I think it's okay to be, basically, when you've got a life outside of work, then being intense at work actually feels like the right balance, because you think, well, if I'm going to be away from these other things that also matter to me, then this is where I need to put the work in. Otherwise, what's the point of being away from it? You might as well.
That's exactly it, you know. I think that's exactly it. If for me to do what I do, I'm very lucky in the fact that my husband Mark is, I always say he's 10 of me in his, just everything. I think he's much better at me at everything.
Aww, that's a very lovely thing to say.
But without him and sort of me and him being the glue, then I couldn't do what I do. And I think, so again, because I'm allowed to, you know, have this great support. When I'm there, I feel that I have to do a really good job, because otherwise, what's the point? Everybody's supported me.
That's lovely.
So therefore, you know, we must do our best. But probably paint myself in a very kind of serious picture, but we do laugh a lot along the way.
No, I don't think it's serious. I just think it's a nice acknowledgement, actually, of like a proper partnership, really. And I do think that's what, like, a proper loving relationship should be like that, actually. People who want to lift you up and give you space to really, like, do what you do. And
we try to carve time out to kind of, you know, do stuff, and but it's hard, isn't it? You know,
he sounds quite like Richard to me, actually.
Yeah,
very supportive, and then finding the fun in things.
Yeah.
So when have you two been together? Like, forever?
Forever. I met Mark in Newcastle. I kind of Mark had naturally curly hair when he was young. So he always used to put his hood up because he didn't want it to be curly, he wanted it to be straight. I didn't know this. And he was just this young lad who used to follow me up the hill to college with his hood up. And I just thought, a bit weird, do you know what I mean? And then I'd kind of find him in
quick in your step a bit, yeah, with the hooded man following me all the time.
Yeah, then if I was in the library, you know, he wasn't like there, but, you know, I felt like I could see him a lot, do you know what I mean, around. And
is this what, when you were like students? Or?
Yeah, I was only 18.
Ah, okay.
And and what was quite sweet was he said, would you like to go for a coffee? And I thought that was like, yeah, go on then. And so I met him for a cup of coffee in a coffee shop in Newcastle called Mark Antonio's. And
is it still there?
It's still there.
That's
cute. And or a version of, you know, things change. But so then, you know, I came to London, he went back to Yorkshire, got a job. So we weren't joined at the hip for always, but he's kind of for a long, long time, he's always been there, really.
And so, he's creative as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. Where I try to push my children away from our line of work, but they'll fall where they where they want to fall, you know.
Has it worked? What's your, so your eldest is the same age as my eldest? At,
yes, he's in Sheffield, and he is, it's kind of medium multi-course of kind of photography, film, sound. They'll do a little bit of everything. So he is, has gone into that line. But, you know, we'll see where they... I want my children to feel happy in their skin and, you know, to... Of course, we're going to have worries, but if they're happy in their skin, then they will naturally move towards things that are going to enrich them in life and not feel like they have to do, you know, a certain thing because I want them to. So I try to nudge them in certain ways. They're going to do what they want to do, you know.
Definitely.
As long as they... Get all the GCSEs there.
Yeah. Keep the options open.
Yeah. And we'll see where they go. But we're quite a creative house.
Yeah, I would say so. And it sounds like maybe the whole idea of nudging them away from creativity hasn't massively worked if your oldest is studying things to do with like film and cameras and maybe it hasn't worked.
Not really done a good job there.
But you have shown them that actually, you know, if you haven't got a job that's got a very predictable trajectory, then that's completely okay. And the flexibility that goes along with it.
Yeah.
So when you met Victoria, what were you doing before that? How did you start with your relationship
with Victoria?
Making
clothes? So I studied fashion, loved fashion. But as a kid, I danced and again, it was another passion. But many moons ago, I'm old now, if you were auditioning for jobs, it was kind of 5'8" was the minimum height.
This was for dancing?
Yeah.
Okay. And so were you actually studying dance at the time then?
Well, it was either, I was going to go to Epsom and I was either going to possibly go to Lane's Theatre Arts or I was going to go to Epsom Art School. And I went to the art school. I did have a place at Newcastle Poly, but I felt if I didn't leave Newcastle at that point, that possibly I would never leave. You know, I think I would become too cozy in being at home because I love my family, I love the Northeast, and I felt that it would be a harder wrench to kind of, you know, pull myself away. So I went for the lesser course and I did BTEC HND, which again, people were kind of like looking at me like, why have you been accepted on the degree course? Why haven't you taken that? But my instinct was that I needed to leave home so that I could stand on my own two feet. So dance and fashion have merged because I knew a lot of people who were performers. That's kind of how it went. My lecturer at college got me my first job. I was working in high street fashion and I was so grateful and I did enjoy it.
What were you doing in high street fashion?
It was menswear, actually. I quite enjoyed menswear because I enjoyed the detail.
So you were making things like so?
It was mainly being a design assistant.
Okay.
And mainly doing a lot of flat drawings at that time.
Yeah.
And they offered me a full-time job, which again, I don't know what I ever thought I was doing, but I just felt that it wasn't the right thing for me.
Yeah. But did you always have the chops? Because I know there's different levels of how fashion works with the different skill sets.
Yes.
Because you can be a designer who doesn't know how to actually work the fabric and you can be someone that works the fabric that wouldn't necessarily do the design.
Yes.
So were you always working simultaneously?
Always, yeah, okay. Always both.
And that from childhood as well? Were you like interested in making
things? Yeah, my mum was a sample machinist, so she was always making things. She was always making clothes for me, or we were always doing something.
How nice.
Yeah, so it's always been with me.
Or did she make you quite funny things to wear as well?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, I look back and I think, Emily, come on.
Did you have siblings? Were there, like, matching outfits going on?
I had two brothers. My brothers are no longer in this world.
Oh, I'm sorry,
but, Vicky. No, it's good. I always think that they're, you know, they're still up there kind of... Having a nice time and then pushing and pulling me around, like, you know, go and do that, you know, make sure that's done. And they were a little bit older, 10 years and nearly 7 years older than me. So they were very protective, but I was never allowed to get away with anything. You know, they were quite tough at the same time. Mm. So if I had a nice frilly dress on, they'd be more inclined to... take the mick out of me rather than tell me how beautiful I was.
Right, got it. That's typical sibling dynamic, to be fair. But like, I'm picturing you guys in like little like Sound of Music, like, you know, matching outfits made from the curtain fabric kind of thing.
Yeah, I should have got them back in kind of, you know, the later years. I should have had a family party or something like that where it's like, there's a dress code.
Yeah, make your own.
This is now.
Actually, that'd be a great party. Make your own outfits. Like, literally, you have to sew something.
I can see the light bulb going on with you.
Some people would do really well. Other people would be like, okay. I mean, I could probably make a caftan, to be fair. It's a massive square
of fabric. I've got a lot of confidence in you. I think yours would be good.
Let's see. Watch this face. April's my birthday.
That's it. I'm going to send a pack through the post. Yeah, yeah. What can you do with this?
Genuinely, I think that would be an amazing birthday party. Will your guests get the same fabric? It's a great birthday party. This is your outfit. What are you going to do with it? How does it suit you? God, that actually, honestly, I'm thinking, okay, I'll stop now with my birthday plans, but I'm into that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, serious note. So you've got your skill set as doing that. So you go to work in men's fashion, but you're doing flat design and you're thinking, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
This is quite making my heart beat fast.
Yeah.
So what's the gap between the men's wear and then and girls'
loud? Yeah. There was I needed to pay my rent. So I worked for a dancewear company. Then you were involved with more dancers. Mm-hmm. And then I decided that I could, you know, do that for myself. Then I was introduced to Victoria, and then made a few bits for, if you like, the music industry. Mm. But I've always tried to remain grounded in the sense that my skill is, I think, is merging performance and fashion. Mm. So I'm thinking about the function,
yeah,
thinking about how you move. So even if you're singing, you're not absolutely restricted with, you know, a corset that you can't breathe in or you can't move in or you just can't, you know, do your thing. So I'm always thinking about how you could move freely, not just as a dancer, as a performer, mm, could be an actor, so that it just functions to allow you to do your thing.
Yeah.
And that's what's always interested me. For London Fashion Week, quite a number of years ago now, but there was a question, is it performance or is it fashion?
Mm.
And when we're on the runway, it's very much performance-led, really. But then when we get down to the nitty-gritty of sales, it's pared back and the garments that we see in store or now online or whatever,
yeah,
are a pared back version of. So there's this this theatrical, there's an entertainment value,
yeah,
in both areas.
So true.
And so that's kind of where I come in. But to sustain my income, I've always tried to remain really grounded, so I can make or be involved in things that are for amateurs, or they might be professional dancers or performers, or it may be quite high-flying and we're involved in something which is,
yeah,
you know, a bit more elevated. But I like to do all things because I think it keeps balance.
Definitely.
And again, that stops me from feeling that intensity of, oh my God, you know, I've got to be doing it for this person or that person or the other person. I can hopefully enjoy doing whatever jobs come my way for whatever person and enjoy the process rather than, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm only speaking to the right people or, you know.
Yeah, and I
like
get
the freeness of being able to not choose because I will work for you and not work for you, just choose how my week rolls.
Yeah.
Because sometimes my family might need to do something.
Yeah.
And I think, well, that's okay because we'll do X, Y, and Z this week because it allows, you know, me to engage with whatever needs to be doing for my family.
Yeah.
Or there's weeks where maybe it is quite a big job and I've committed and I'm like, okay. And we all understand that for the next 2 weeks, Mum's going to be a bit intense with this particular job.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just creates it's a bit of a roller coaster, but hopefully it's not too damaging for them. And they enjoy the fact that they have me a lot in some aspects, but then they know that I have to work hard at other times.
Yeah, no, and I think it helps them respect your job, but also it's like, it's not a boring life, it's a fun life, there's, yeah, lots happening. And it's got energy around it all the time. And
yes,
I think energy around that, what you do,
yes, it's
helps
good.
People get a sort of, they get a bit of that from you when you bring it home. Do you know what,
yes,
I mean? So for your kids, they can feel like the sort of buzz,
yes,
of momentum, which I, yeah, think is a nice thing to grow up around, actually.
Yeah. And I think the balance between working across all areas hopefully teaches them that it's very nice. You know, I'm very lucky. You know, the general public, you know, people know about Strictly, but, you know, it's not the be all and end all just because maybe someone's famous or someone's,
yeah,
you know, that doesn't, it's not a better job and a weaker job as such. Do you know, yes, what I mean?
Again, I was thinking balance. Maybe that's partly where your instinct to be grounded and to, I mean, you said, you know, a little while back that, oh, I'm not at the forefront, but I would argue that you cannot get a more high-profile aspect of working in the area that you work in than Strictly Come Dancing. That's like,
yes,
surely that's sort of. But because you've worked your way up and you're aware of all the people that have, you know, the trade of, you know, being the tailors and the seamstresses,
yes,
and all the people, you probably feel quite connected to that world of, like,
yes,
all these people that have.
That are working hard and just,
yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
yeah,
it kind of keeps you feeling a bit like,
yeah,
I
and
know,
I like
reassured
it
by that.
Yes,
yeah, it's reassuring, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I feel comfortable there.
Funnily enough, when I'm doing things that are, whenever I feel a bit of pressure, I always go and take myself outside of what I'm doing, and that makes me feel a lot better. So when I'm on tour, I go and walk around the city that I'm in all day, just wandering about. Often visiting vintage clothing shops. But I've realised it's not just about that. First of all, getting out and about gives me like a purposeful walk. So if I've got, okay, I'm going to go and visit that shop, it's 1.5 miles away.
Yeah.
It's like a place I can walk to in a place I don't know.
Yeah.
But also I've realised it means you spend your day walking around the city and you see all the other things that are happening there that day. And it makes you think, right, the perspective is that my show is a teeny tiny thing happening in one tiny place. And when I was doing Strictly, I'd never done a show like that, and suddenly it's like it turned London into a village, and everybody, I'd be walking about and people were like, what dance are you doing tonight? And but I'd always be like, look, I didn't used to watch this programme. There's lots of people who don't watch this.
Yes.
It feels like it's the middle of everything, but it's not true.
And no.
That would make me feel better.
Yes, that would make you
otherwise
feel
it's just my head would explode. It's,
yeah,
it's almost too much, the pressure.
Maybe that's why I don't disconnect from it, because obviously I've invested a lot of my time and my children have grown up with strictly, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why I enjoy being where I am or where I place myself within, because it is fantastic. But I underestimate sometimes, you know, how much chat there is about it, or
yeah,
you know, because you're trying to keep balance. So yeah. that
and it helps
fun.
You feel resourceful as well. I think about being able to flip and do something else if that's what happens.
Yeah.
I think I need always like that feeling as well. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll keep myself a little like backpack of resource in case I have to head off somewhere else.
Head off in that direction.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But that being said, I didn't realise, so I did Strictly in 2013 and I didn't realise you only joined it the year before. So you were still relatively new to it then.
Yes.
So when you took it on, did you know how much it was going to bring with it in terms of, because to me, I walked into that, I was like, oh my God, this is a juggernaut. It's like more than the sum of its parts.
Yes.
But also everybody that works on the show gives it so much when it's happening.
Yes.
So did you have any idea of what you were taking on?
What it was, there used to be a lovely lady called Sue Judd, who she started the show as such. So it was quite, I don't think she would mind me saying so, it was a very much a styling exercise where she was looking at the competitive dance world,
mm-hmm.
and then she was orchestrating that and putting it on TV, basically.
Got it.
And she did a fabulous job.
Like the old Come Dancing.
Yes.
Right.
And she did a fabulous job at doing that and researching and, just, you know, she was completely on point. So I used to advise her, really, on, you know, how to cut something, if you do it like this, if you do it like that. But she worked with other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was other people from other companies. So it wasn't like it's the Vicky show at this point. But I used to do quite a lot kind of in the background, but not necessarily running the actual TV show. So it
so
was,
you've been involved with it for a little
while. Yeah. So I understood a lot about the construction and what needed to happen. And so I felt very confident with that. But when I got the what I call is a top job. Yes, it was a transition. And within that year, I kind of went into the first year and I was pregnant with Evelyn. So I not only took this mammoth job on, I had a baby on the way and it was just kind of, this is a lot. But you have to push through, don't you? And again, it comes with memories of, so for my children, it's not like Strictly dictates, you know, all my memories, but I do have memories. I have memories of rails of clothes being in my dining room at one point because we couldn't go to storage for whatever reason. And, you know, there's like Evie popping her head through lots of clothes. It was a lot. And TV, it's fast paced. Mm. The demands are quite heavy.
Yeah.
Sometimes everyone's looking at the glitz and the glamour, but budgets are very real.
So do you get given your budget and then you can dictate how it works?
I'm very lucky. Our line producers over the time have been really good with me
and
allowing me
to.
Yeah, but there's still only that amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes are we using it more on crew, or are we using it more on buying, or are we using it more on making? But it depends what the creative demand is. So it's a juggle.
It's lots going on. And also, I imagine that things chop and change last minute a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Because when I was... So that's why I was thinking, like, wow, what you deliver is extraordinary, because you will be starting work on things and it needs to... So sometimes you might only know what's happening on, say, like a Wednesday, and it's got to be show ready by Saturday night. But you do a dress run on Friday and then things might need to be tweaked.
Yeah.
So how is that in real time for you? Like, what pace do you feel like you're working at during that time?
I feel I do absorb... I try to absorb as much of the stress as I can from the team, because I feel if everybody's stressed, then that's... We can't operate.
No, that doesn't... That's not a good environment, is
it? So I try to kind of quietly... think about what's been asked of us, and then have little game plans of, well, if we don't like it like that, we might chop that into a crop, or if we make that as a trouser, we can always make that into a play suit, or I could make it into a skort. Or if we cut the base in black, I can always then add an additional colour to it. So it's a bit like a jigsaw.
Yeah, okay.
Puzzle.
I'm seeing this, yes.
And we will have what we call block shapes. So
yeah,
we've got a sweetheart neckline, we've got a halter neck, we've got a, you know, an asymmetrical neckline. And so I'll cut things in different shapes.
Yeah.
And you love your sparkly leotard base.
Yes.
But you will drop a dress over the top of it.
Yeah.
So this can happen.
Maybe like I did in my rumba week, for example.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I'm thinking, you know, when you were little, I don't know if you used to do it, and I can't even remember what they're called, where you used to cut dresses out and then you used to wrap them around.
Like the paper doll ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like that.
Okay.
In my head.
But how do you keep it? Because not only do you do that, but also, I can see you've got a very quick and good understanding of how what people's shapes, like what they work well with.
Yes.
Is that just a skill set you've honed, do you think, from having to be quick
maybe,
about it?
Maybe.
Because people, I feel like people have almost like a sort of like a character that stays fairly, like a little thread.
Yes, that goes through. It does. And
maybe that helps you a little bit too, because there's almost like a little framework each. Because if everything's a possibility, it's almost too much,
it's,
isn't it?
100%. We just wouldn't be able to cope.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do find it a little bit restricting because maybe we can't be as creative as we want to be. Or if I had that creative document for one person, I'm sure I would do everything differently.
Yeah.
Because time, money,
everything. Yeah.
But what's great is that you don't have that time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, come on then, Vic. What are you going to do about that then?
Problem solving all the time.
And I suppose it moves into my personal life as well, because my friend Amy, that's how she refers to me, as the problem solver.
Great.
You know, because you kind of want to find a solution and move on. Not because you're being dismissive, it's just because we don't want that to be a problem. So what can we do?
And do you feel like you do that with parenting as well, because I think a lot of parenting is
that
right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're here, what are our options?
Yeah, what should we do?
Yeah.
Probably to the annoyance of my children, because they probably think, I want you to dwell over this. I'm very upset. I want you to, you know. And so I sometimes have to have a little word with myself and you know, just slow it down and be a little bit more. Just have a minute.
They're like, Mom, I didn't need my uniform to be a skort by morning.
Oh, they get none of that done. You can imagine. It's like, you know,
I've had a button missing for 3 weeks now. Yeah. But the Swarovski crystals down. Oh, blimey.
I'm a terrible mum in that respect.
No, but you're not. But I think also the problem solving sometimes, because I'm not, without any of the talent of the seamstress and the creation, just in terms of like that thing of like trying to solve things all the time, sometimes I think it's almost like it gives me something to do while things are actually resolving by themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like it just keeps me running around in circles doing, what about try this, that, and then I like exhaust myself. And I'm like, if I'd done nothing, I would have been at the same point.
And remember, certainly on Strictors or any of the big shows, there's a lot of people working very hard on my behalf as well. You know, I'm...
How many is in the team in Strictly
varies,
or Dancing on Ice or things like that?
It varies depending on what the demands are upon us. But okay. if we were to go for... There's probably 8 of us on a weekly as the core team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move to about 16 when we add seamstresses, dressers.
Okay.
But it's not huge.
No, that's not huge, especially when there's so many things to get done.
Yeah.
And one outfit could take...
Yes.
So many man hours if you would just break it down to how long.
And then we'll have makers and, you know, so. But across the board, you know, there's just lots of lovely people, whether one lady is touching it or maybe only for 1 week of the series or somebody's involved, you know, every day for the whole 6 months. Like, everyone's important, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their skill. And we try very much to work with people's skill sets.
Yeah.
You know, if, trying to think of an example, but if someone's like really quick at levelling a skirt
yeah.
and they're not afraid of it, because it means that you're putting the mannequin at on an elevated position and you're going to literally cut through the bottom of the skirt. Yeah. And a lot of it, of course you're measuring, but a lot of it is eye as well, because we need it in 1 hour.
Got it.
So, you know, you'll think, okay, Misha's good at that, T's good at that, or Halla's good at that, or, you know, whoever's in. So you're trying to also think about the jobs that we got to do, but who would be feeling comfortable in doing that task? Because it's really hard when we get new people joining the team. We just, you know, you can imagine.
Yeah.
Fear of God has been injected into them.
But they've got to hit the ground running, haven't they? Yeah. Just like, okay.
So, but we try
to... Pick up the scissors and cut.
Yeah. Just cut it. Try not to worry.
Yeah.
And I always say to
them... Okay, it's wonky.
Yeah.
That's not your skill set.
And I always say to them, please just go for it, because I'll fix it for you. Whereas if you don't go for it, it means it's another job that we're giving, you know, that someone else has got to do. So just be brave.
Yeah. No, I get it.
And you know, try. And then, and once they get into that swing, they're fabulous. But it is nerve-wracking.
And with your love of fashion and your fashion background, are you still giving, do you still have time and inclination to look around at what is on runways and out there?
I really try.
Soak it in as well.
Yeah, I really try, because I don't really speak of it a lot, but that awareness and also that joy.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, do you still feel as excited about all of that stuff?
Because, you know, and also I'm getting old. And so when various things kind of come back around, or if there's a flavour of somebody who was maybe in the 90s, when I was really, you know, that was when I was kind of, you know, just looking at everything and absorbing everything. It's just great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like,
it's like,
you know,
endlessly fun. Yeah. If you love it, then it just, always gets the juices like, yeah.
There's just so much to see.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And but do you ever get to the point with all of it where you're like, oh, I just don't want to see a sparkly outfit for a minute?
Strange thing is, I am not sparkly in any way, shape or form.
I don't know. I don't know what's under that shirt. I know, I love the way you've got a safety pin on yourself. Like, spot the tailor.
So I...
Is that safety pin this there just in case something happens?
I feel like I've always got one, because I never know. I've actually got one in the back of my trousers. They need taking in, but that's definitely not going to happen. Yes, I think I've always got a safety pin somewhere.
Cool.
I do love sparkle in terms of watching a performance, or, again, just seeing how it can elevate a situation.
Oh, it sure does.
Do you know what I mean?
It dances for you.
It's like that kind of magic that happens. And I'm not saying I would never, you know, wear anything sparkly, but it's not really my my thing.
But I guess you're thinking about it in terms of its function.
Yes.
You're kind of coming back to that again, aren't you?
Yeah, so in a performance...
Oh, it works.
It's just, it can't not be there.
I know, it's so good.
You know, when we do the TV show, it's, of course, there's embellishment. But there's not that much, really. But as soon as you step into an arena, the transformation... be the sparkle ambulance. The transformation is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And straight away we're kind of, you know, everyone will say it needs a bit of sparkle, but a bit of sparkle in an arena could mean 10 packets, you know, which
are they all done by hand? They must be.
They are. I mean, when you look in the high street and kind of on the runways, there's a lot of sparkle around this season, actually. It's kind of, you know, there's a lot out there. And a lot of it is hot fix, and they're heat-pressed sheets, which look fantastic. It just limits, because that's been manufactured, that can be orchestrated. But with what we do, because they're one-off pieces, it's not as easy. I can't be as creative.
Yeah.
So it's quite restricting. But it's not to say we won't ever use it. It's just, I feel like it limits us.
And I'm sure most people you meet during the show are lovely, but some people probably not so much. How do you handle people coming into your fittings and having a say of their own about things? Because people show insecurities in all different ways. And Strictly is an environment where, I remember one week when I did a samba, and I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, I feel like I've come as, like, I don't know, Samba Barbie or something. I can't recognize myself.
Yeah. And I can't remember what you had at that.
Big curly hair. I had jewels stuck all over my face. And then my outfit was like, it probably did genuinely remind me of like an outfit my Cindy or my Barbie had. So it was all kind of like primary colour patches.
Yeah.
Like red, blues, yellows, I think, like rhinestones. I mean, it was kind of amazing, but I was like,
just the combination of all things.
She?
Yeah. I feel like, and I'm sure that I was probably feeling similar to you in those moments, because on Strictly, if we're talking about Strictly, there's certain dances like samba, salsa,
Paso Doble, maybe?
Paso's not too bad because you can still keep it quite stylish if the music's right because there's a strength there.
Okay, got it.
But, and depending on what the choreographers want or the professional dancer wants, you're kind of listening, certainly with samba and salsa.
Because you've got so many things to think about.
They're my pet hates, if I'm honest, because normally people want a bright colour. And only this year, Katya was doing, it was either, I think it was salsa, and she was all in black, and it was like, for me, I was like, oh, thank the Lord. Because everything else around her could be colourful.
Yes.
And she was just black.
Yeah.
And for me, it just made me kind of relax because I was like, this is okay.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for the other teams as well because they're all given direction from many different people.
Golly, yeah, because you've got to think about the whole picture as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, and you have to deal with so many strands.
Different people's, you know, the decision makers are at different levels. And again, you know, none of us make the right decision all the time. And on something like Strictly, it's such a beast.
It is.
That I kind of, even if I get burnt in the process, I kind of forgive everybody very quickly. Or we don't know everything, so I can be looking at something going, oh, I really don't know that at all. Or, you know, but there's so much that you can't beat yourself up because it is light entertainment. I think that we do, we're never too far away, but it's just massive.
Mm.
You know, and time frames and everything else. So I think that, I suppose that's my frustration when I'm saying that, you know, always want to do better, be looking, but it's such a lot.
It is such a lot.
Yeah.
And I imagine as well that your calm nature means that people come to you and when they're feeling a bit wobbly, they might open up to you in a way they're not with other people.
I do try to say to people that often, sometimes I'll know that something isn't ultimately right. This isn't perfect, but how can we improve it, for one?
Yeah.
And for two, when I first meet people, I don't know if you remember, because sometimes people can remember things and sometimes it's like a blur because people are so nervous, you know, everybody's different. But to try to speak as early as possible in the process, you know, from a Friday to a Saturday, so that we can do something about it. And also, just don't be afraid to speak because, you know, we'll try and work something out. We'll try and find a way, you know, to create something else. Or even though we're in there's a lot of people around us that we're listening to.
Yeah.
Most times we find our way. I want to try and put people at ease because it's just stressful.
Yeah.
You're tired at times or you might be really, really excited at times. There's lots of different emotions.
Definitely.
That affect your judgment within the bubble.
Massively.
Strictly.
And how do you deal with that stress when you're going home? Because that can be, I know you said you absorb a lot of stress.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's quite difficult because then it's just like there in your shoulders and...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe my family, I'm sure that they, you know, they'd probably have a better story to tell on that front. because if you're going to be grumpy with anyone, it's your family.
Yeah, so true. I know.
So poor things, you know, over the years, they're probably like, oh, when's this going to end? You know, she might not...
I think there's always something, isn't there? But I know that my kids can sometimes get a bit grumpy with me going away a lot and being intense with my work.
Yes.
So how have you, how do you give yourself permission to give yourself over to it that way, even if it means sometimes missing, I don't know, assemblies?
It's tough, isn't it? It's very tough. And I think that when Oliver was born, technology wasn't as it is now. So believe it or not, we couldn't FaceTime and stuff like that. You know, everything's changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to observe some of my friends who had children before me, that they would ring home and then their children would become very upset. And so if I was to go away, I used to try to protect Ollie.
Yeah.
So that I wasn't ringing for my benefit.
Yeah.
And then disturbing him and his nice little situation with his dad. So it was very hard those early years, certainly with first baby. Mm. And then the difference between boys and girls, like the girls are very different to Ollie. Like Ollie's very laid back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably easier with Ollie. Girls have been fabulous. You know, they're all so understanding. I think it's because we live away from my family, where they're from the northeast, we're in the south, so it's kind of like us against the world, so to speak.
Mm.
And so we do just get on with it, you know. And obviously, as long as one of us is there,
right,
doing various assemblies or whatever, but it is tough for me. I do feel a working mum does, you do miss out. But we can't have it all, because also we're providing for our families and we're trying to create a nice life. And I don't mean material things, but just opportunity or experience or even seeing mum and dad working hard, you know, for them as they go through life. There's lots of learnings, isn't there?
Definitely.
But yes, I do feel... don't know if I, you know, if I, this should be said on the podcast, but I'll say it. My youngest child is very, 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 you know, kind of aware of what makes me tick. Or I'm not necessarily a star sign person that would kind of read my, you know, what is going to happen to me in the week. But I do think there's similarities within star signs and people's personalities. And me and my youngest sit in the same star sign. And she said to me, swinging her legs, she must have only been maybe about six or something like that. And it may have just been an observation. I don't think she went out to, you know, to hurt me, but she was swinging her legs and she said, when I grow up, mummy, I'm just going to be a mummy. And I was like, you know, she just absolutely got me in that moment.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
She might not have actually meant anything at all, but I might have thought, because you're a mummy and that's, she might think you're
exactly
just a mummy too.
But you see those...
But how you were feeling, you heard it as not a mum that's doing all the other bits and bobs.
Just, you know, and so yeah, we beat ourselves up a lot, but they're getting older now. They still obviously need me and will need me all through their lives, but we're moving into different territory now.
Yeah.
With the teenage years and things like that. So we're all adjusting. I'm adjusting to what that means.
Yes.
You know, and at what point they need me and at what point they're thinking, can you just back off? Because, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
It is. I know, cause before we start recording, we're both talking about that sort of, what I call it, like the wheel turning. That's how I think of it, because it's like you sort of clunk into like a new chapter. And I think when your kids get into that bit where they're the teens and 20s and it does definitely shift and you start reflecting on
what you've done,
childhood, their babyhood, all of that stuff, in a way that, you know, most when you're in it, you think you're always going to be in it, and then suddenly it's like, oh, it's, that's done, like that was those moments.
I'm not going to do that again.
No. And you look back at photos and things and you think, that was me in that moment,
yes,
but it's no longer here, and it's like, it's sort of like sand
slipping.
It really is. It's funny.
Yeah, we've got at least we've got the memories, though. At least we've got
definitely.
The, you know, it's all very positive. It's just that awareness.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people where I think, oh, I want to, you know, preserve them, or why did you have to grow up, or anything like that. In fact, I'm rooting for them. I'm like, come on, like, what's ahead of us? But I think it's more for yourself, like just have a moment of like, oh, okay, okay, I've done that bit, and you realise you're in that next part of your life.
My auntie once said, she was reading at Ollie's christening, actually, it wasn't religious, but she said that we are the archer and it's our job to send them as far and as straight, but they're not ours to keep. And it's always stayed with me.
Wow,
so
yeah.
when I'm feeling like, you know, I don't want this time to go or whatever, I think, no, that's my job. I'm the archer.
So I like that.
Sending them forward straight, you know, and it helps me to... helps me to allow them to do whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean just, you know, going out with their mates till ridiculous hour, but just, you know, pushing them forward into their lives, not mine.
Yeah. I know. I think it's that thing as well of a bit like when you were saying about not phoning home to say goodnight to Ollie because you know it would upset him and it'd be harder for whoever's looking after him, like your husband or whoever he's with. And so you, for yourself, pack away your things. And I think I do that as well, where I think I call it heavy boots, where I'm like I sort of have my boots like a heavy boots, but really like you sort of pack it away for yourself, like, well, I'm going to protect them from the bits
that
I'm missing out and what I feel sad and that kind of stuff. It's hard sometimes when you're away and I go, oh, I miss the kids, and someone will go, oh, they're fine. I go, well, no, they're fine, it's me. I'm feeling this is about me, actually. Yes. Good. I'm glad they're fine. I don't want them to be pining, but it's tricky. And I think you're right about, like, as a working mum, you just have to accept that there's going to be moments that don't work the way you want them to.
Yeah.
But there isn't really a version of events where you can do it where, as you say, you have it all and it's all working all the time.
Yeah. We can't, I think in life, we can't have everything, can we?
No.
You know, we try.
You can have, but I think also having a life that's not dull and an exciting one and one where you're doing things you love is really special.
Yeah.
And I can see that you adore what you do and being able to immerse yourself in that. And even that stressful environment, it sounds like a weird thing to say, but when I was doing Strictly, there was a bit where I was like experiencing nerves of such a sort of weird dimension, like nerves I've never had for anything before or since, because it's, you know,
how to explain
the nerves of dancing a foxtrot live on telly when you've never danced one before that week. Like, it's just out of body. And I said to my manager, I was a bit like, oh, I'm doing this. You, one who said I should do it, you're not even doing it with me, you know. And I said, it's so nerve-wracking. He said, well, it's kind of a privilege, actually, to feel that nervous. And I thought, maybe there's something in that. I mean, it was a slightly annoying comment, but...
At the time, you wanted a punch.
Yeah, I was like, maybe there's something in that. Like, the privilege of actually feeling that focus, because not everybody is lucky enough to do something where you're safe, like nothing, you know, but the stakes are kind of high and it's intense and it's such a lovely group of people involved.
Yes.
I was really blown away by the talent. And I know you work in other environments, but I keep coming back to Strictly because that's the bit where I was really watching what you were doing in that room. And I used to love coming into the fittings and all the industry and the hubbub. But I was also thinking, whoa, there's a lot to deal with here.
We like people coming into our room because, it's like your home, isn't it?
Definitely.
I mean, you've been, you know, very lovely today. Like, I'm coming in to meet you. And I like people to come into my home because it happens less, actually, where I live in the south, but certainly in the northeast, it's very much what people do. It's like, come in, you know, come in, have a cup of tea or whatever. And so I feel like the room, whether it be on Strictly, we talk about Strictly a lot because it's ran for a long time and you've experienced it. So
it's also so loved by people.
Yeah.
People adore that show so much.
It's sometimes it's because we do have a fridge that may have some alcohol in it.
Perfect.
But I like to think that that's not the sole reason why people would come into our room. That's it. It's kind of like an open door
and
hopefully somewhere where people can have a laugh, you know, amongst all of the, it's not even silliness, but just like those nerves and tiredness or whatever, you know. So I'm glad you felt that.
Definitely. Oh, very much so. I loved it. Very much so. It's great. What's the number one thing people ask you about what you do when they find out?
People often ask me, what's your favourite dress? What's the favourite thing that you've designed and things like that? And I always find that very hard because I'm never totally satisfied with whatever it is that we're doing. Because
really?
Yes, like you're always looking at something and thinking, oh, if we only had another hour, or if we only had a, you know. But what I do love is when a plan comes together, so when lighting, props, people, garments, you know.
The whole thing.
The music, like, you know, because we've got all of this fabulousness, if yes. we're talking about Strictly, or within the TV industry, there's just lots and lots of very talented people.
Yes.
And it's when all of those moments just work.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody gets a concept document, but they're all working independently.
Yes.
And then we all come together for either a few hours or a day.
Yeah.
And it's at that point, if we can kind of make it fit, and then you watch it and you go, no, that... It's good.
Yeah.
It's like I live for those feelings, you know. And of course, there's been lots of moments like that. But yeah, it's that feeling.
Yeah, the feeling. You're yeah. right. When it all marries and it's yeah. like, and all the drama just yeah. does exactly what it's
supposed
to do.
Or you look around and you just see people enjoying it, you know, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, you're like, ah.
Yeah,
this is nice. You know,
This is my salacious question, and I think you can give like a yes no answer. Do you? I would imagine you get privy to a lot of gossip from your vantage point. You could just have a yes or no for that if you want.
I do. I think I'm a trusted one though. So I hear a lot, I see a lot, but I hope I don't say a lot.
Yeah, that's perfect. Until the microphones are off. That's good. Do you still dance?
No. I mean, I could do with moving my jacksie in one form or other. I enjoy exercise, and until about a year ago, I for a couple of years, religiously... Sort of went to the gym and wasn't super fit, but just felt, you know, stronger, better, all of that. The past year has been a bit tricky because my dear dad suffers with dementia, and it's been quite a challenging year. And
that must be really challenging.
It is, but it's not to kind of talk about for kind of like, oh, you know, sorry, Vicky, but just as a fact, you know,
yeah.
Our lives, you know, change, don't they?
There's always many layers.
And
as
I'm
well.
At that point where I think I must do something again. Mm. And I used to teach kids to dance many, many moons ago. And when I had Izzy, it was only a hobby. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that I did full time. And I thought, I can't be doing what I'm doing, designing, trying to, you know, bring up children and everything else. I can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to give. So dance went. And from the day that I stopped teaching kids to dance was the day that I pretty much never danced anymore, because it is something that I probably not now, you know, I'm too old, but I knew that if I just did one class, or that I'd get the bug and yeah. I'd kind of want to do more. And then before you know it, I'd be doing, I don't know, 10 classes a week, I'd say to people that we could do, or whatever, I'd be all in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't dance, but I do need to, you know, get myself in gear and do something. Spin, yeah. Quite like spin.
Yeah.
Quite like swimming.
Yeah, nice things.
You know.
I mean, I do think when I was doing the show, like, dancer bod, like, you get into great shape, but you have to be, I mean... dancing like 6 days a week, it's completely unsustainable. But for that brief moment, it was like, this is good.
It's insane, isn't it?
They're athletes as well, the actual pros and everything.
Yeah, just how their bodies respond. And yeah, and I see you guys. We look okay when we meet you in the summer, because we may have, you know, sunshine, we may have a little bit of colour, even if it's just rosy cheeks.
Yeah,
We're feeling quite refreshed. And as we go through the series, I think we maybe put a bit of weight on because we're not maybe eating quite as well, blah, blah, blah. But you guys, it you know, you really flourish, because you may be exhausted, but, you know, the training that you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You all look incredible. And I feel like we sometimes are there eating a sausage roll kind of head tilted while all you, like, you know, real specimens walk through the door. I think I should really put this sausage roll down.
But sometimes when you're around people who are working out a lot, it makes you feel like you're kind of are anyway, even if they're not. And then you do strip dancing on ice, which is like that, but on ice. That is insanely
it's
hard,
actually,
isn't it?
A lovely lady called Clodagh, she was the person ultimately, and Moira, who gave me the job on Strictly. And Clodagh went on to do Dancing on Ice when it came back, and she invited me to do it. So it's a little bit mad, really, because people think, well, why did you go from one to the other? But it was mainly because Clodagh gave me this opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she went on to other things. And when you're bringing a show back, it's quite a lot of work. And I just felt that, you know, I needed to support her. And but it was a bit mental because you were moving from one very tough show to another very tough show.
Yes.
But we've got into the swing.
Okay.
So we're all right. The team kind of crosses over. So while we're finishing Strictly, Sid tends to start with Dancing on Ice, and then we right. then kind of follow, and it all works out. So, but the ice is, it's a completely different ball game. People compare the two, nothing like one another. They may think it looks similar, but it's just completely different. I am so scared of the ice.
Oh, me too. I think it's just got dancing, both got dancing and the title and sparkly outfits. So,
but safety elements.
So you can't have certain lengths of things and...
Yeah, or if anything drops off, if rhinestones drop off...
Oh, wow, yeah.
...because of the blades.
Oh, blimey, yeah, that could really...
There's all sorts of stuff. So it was a very, very steep learning curve when we went from one to the other.
So you got to use totally different fabrics and everything.
In a way, yeah. It's better to use something that's more metallic, or if it's a lurex, or something that's going to give value. But although we do use crystals, it's not so much.
Okay.
Nice. But we do still put a lot on when I think about it.
And if one comes off on the ice, it's just what happened, because it needs to look good.
Fun.
Well, it sounds like I caught you at a good time, not only because you're, you know, sort of work is busy, but maybe not sort of like busy, but also you're about to have this Girls Aloud tour, which will kind of bring things a little full circle, which is really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So how does it feel to be working back with that project? And I think their tour is going to be great, actually.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's Victoria's creative.
Yeah.
And so it's her vision. I'm kind of the problem solver, you know, the person who's coming. And I think because of the fashion background, although I don't work in fashion any longer, very much in costume, I do understand both worlds.
Yeah.
So I get really excited about, you know, sticking those two things together for them. Great, again, you know, for them that this point in time has come and they've all done lots of wonderful things, and I think everybody's in good spirits.
Hmm.
You know,
definitely.
It's like time hasn't passed, isn't it? When you, you know, a lot of time has, but all of a sudden it's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is great, you know.
It's nice to reflect as well on, like, all the things you've done in the interim as well, from back at the Brits with your tiny baby to now, kind of thing. It's a nice feeling,
you know,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I really look forward to it. I'm sure, again, there'll be moments along the way, but I like it when they all set off on tour, if you know what I mean.
Because
it's quite a stressful few weeks, tech and everything. But then they get the first couple of shows out the way, as you will know. And then once they fly...
Yeah, finds its feet.
Then they have fun then.
Definitely.
You know, so you find joy in watching other people. You know, once they've connected and they're... It feels great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really excited.
That is exciting. I'm so glad we got to catch up, Vicky. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's such a joy. And that, for what it's worth, I absolutely loved. I mean, your outfits... that I wore when I was doing Strictly kind of changed my entire approach to my tour wardrobe. And the leotard I wore underneath my rumba dress, because I had this beautiful crystallized leotard and then this sheer dress over the top, a navy sheer, like, chiffon dress with a belt. And I was like, I loved the way you got the twinkle.
Yes.
But it was also a dress. So yes. It had both elements.
Yeah.
And I basically just thought, that's incredible. So I've been wearing things on that variation. And it's just like, I don't think I never really used to wear sparkly things ever.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, Get me more. There's so many benefits. They dance for you. They look amazing. You can roll them up. They never need to be pressed or anything. Hand luggage only, no trouble. Just the benefits are endless.
Yeah, you probably think about what journey you're going on and like, will this travel well? Okay, let's have Definitely. The sparkly base.
Yeah, you can just go like, out of a bag. Ta-da! It's ideal. You should get into it. Stop wearing black. Get some twinkle on. Come on.
You don't know what's underneath.
Oh, lovely Vicky. Such a lovely woman. And what an interesting career she's had. What an interesting journey through costume and clothes. And working in that pressure cooker of Strictly and delivering week after week. That is incroyable. I'm very impressed. And obviously, as you heard me mention, Vicky kind of has changed my life a bit, really, through a sparkly leotard. Now, on the surface of it, that doesn't sound like much. Okay, another bit of wardrobe. But I think came to symbolise a sort of, I feel like I dress differently since Strictly and as I've got older, and it's actually more of a celebration of like disco and dance and movement and just not being so critical of myself. And I think that sparkly leotard sums up my relationship with that side of my stage wear, because it gave me this feeling of like fun and actually just not being so critical, really. So thank you, Vicky, for finding that side of me and helping me with some of my inhibitions. And actually, I'm sure my children are not quite as thankful, but I like it. I love going on stage in a little sparkly leotard and a bit of chiffon. And I think when I was in my 20s or 30s, I probably wouldn't have done that. So hurrah to that. And hurrah to her for her time. And I'm now speaking to you from Sunday. So if I sound a little bit tired, it's because I haven't had time to sleep. We had the sleepover last night for Ray's 12th birthday. A lovely little bunch of 11 and 12-year-olds. But wow, they were, well, actually, you know what? They were really great. It was only one bit where I'd fallen asleep and then I got woken up by some shouting because we basically left them downstairs. Big sleepover base camp thing in the sitting room where we'd moved all the sofas out of the way. And then they found their way to the kitchen, which is underneath my bedroom, and I could really hear them. So I went down at one point like, guys, volume down. But then they did. It was all fine. And then when I got up early this morning with Mickey, I went downstairs and was trying to piece together what they'd been up to. I could tell they'd used my foot massager that Richard had got me for Christmas. And they'd also had a hot sauce challenge at some point because there were like crisps and hot sauces all over the table. So good time had by all, I think. And then when I came down, they were all fast asleep, and then woke them up and then had pancakes. And now they've all gone home and the teepees have been taken away. And Sunday stretches out ahead of us. We're going to go and get a burger, aren't we, Jess?
Where are we going to get it from?
A place down the road that Daddy's found. I've never been, but apparently does really good burgers. And then can you remember what we're doing this afternoon?
We're going to the Zippo Circus.
That's right. We're going to go to the circus because it's really near our house.
Yeah.
And it looks like fun. So that's quite a nice Sunday, isn't it? Burgers and circus. I'm into it. I'm digging it, Jess. And then hopefully an early night.
And where do they also have chips and like sausage?
What, the burger place?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't have not have chips. And then tonight, well, I'm going to make the promise that I always break every day. An early night. I never get an early night. I don't like going to sleep before midnight, but I'm going to give it a whirl anyway because it sounds like a good idea. I feel like I haven't slept particularly well, but it's okay because tonight I'm gonna be fast asleep by 8 o'clock, right? No, probably not. Anyway, thank you to Vicky Gill for coming over to talk to me. It's always such a pleasure to hang out with her. I'm very glad she's in my life. And thank you to Claire Jones, someone else I'm glad is in my life because she does such a brilliant job of producing the podcast, but also she's a friend. Thank you to Richard, my brilliant husband, for doing all the editing, and Ella May, who does such a beautiful job with the artwork. I love it. But obviously, biggest thanks of all is to you and your ears, because otherwise this is just a woman talking into the void. So thank you so much. Whatever you're up to, have a lovely, lovely week, and I'll be back again next week with another wonderful guest. How's about that? All right, lots of love. See you soon. Take care. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.